week it was past, which can be a roadblock. And we saw how that God takes your past. He can erase it. He cleanses it. He wants to use you in the future. This week it is the fear of risk. I'm reminded of my dad. I've heard recently from my dad in Texas. How many of you have not actually met my dad, John Young? Have not met him? You haven't met him personally? Okay. It's quite a few. For some reason that surprises me because it doesn't seem like he's been gone that long. But there's quite a few that haven't met him. He's the founder of this church 22 years ago. He's the founder of this church. And about going on 3 years ago, one Sunday after church, he came to me and said, "Ken, I believe God's calling me back to Texas to start a church." Blew me away. I mean, here's a guy who was here for about almost 20 years. And everything was just starting to go fine. The church is doing well. It has its own premises. It's beyond the infant stage of developing a new church. Another question, how many of you have been involved in a brand new church start? How many have been involved in a brand new church, baby church? It's a different thing, isn't it? It's a different thing altogether. It feels different. It's a lot more work. I've been there a couple of times. I'm a missionary kid. So I've been in a couple of brand new churches. And it's a different thing. And for him to be able to get the church to this stage where it's at, and then to say, "I'm going to go, leave it all, I'm going to start something over completely new and again." To me, I admire that. I admire that because that to me is a huge risk. It's a huge risk to be able to say, "I'm going to leave what's comfortable for me and step out in faith into something unknown because I believe God is in it." That's a huge risk. And my question is, are you willing to follow God in whatever kind of risk that He leads you in? Am I willing to follow God in whatever risk He wants for my life? And by the way, the church in Texas is doing well. International Baptist Church in Texas is doing well. They're very encouraged. The church is running close to about 40 people average now. And not only that, but envy of envies, they've also purchased about 5 acres of land. A church of 40 people purchasing 5 acres of land. And here we are sitting on 1 acre and trying to squeeze it and maximize it. 5 acres. And they paid all of about $50,000 for that 5 acres of land. You want to move to Texas with me? God hasn't called us to Texas. God's called us here. He knows the price of land here. He knows the price of building. And He will lead us. He will take care of that. When the fear of risk is a roadblock, we talked about coming to crossroads in life. A place where you have the choice to go this way or a choice to go that way. Jesus, we saw last week, said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to," what? Destruction. Narrow is the gate and the way that leads to life. Okay? Narrow is the way that leads to life. So we come to these crossroads. I want for me and for my family, I want to be choosing the right way. But we see so often the difficult thing is this. The world's way and that path always seems a little more appealing, a little more tempting, a little more easier, a little more desirable. It's not so much work. It's easier. And we see many people, Jesus said many people go this direction. And it leads to destruction. It leads to hurt. It leads to sorrow. It leads to broken families. It leads to wrecked lives and wrecked marriages. It leads to pain. It leads to misery. I want to take this past couple of weeks and just focus in, zero in on a couple of roadblocks in our life that keep us from going that path. The theme verse was Jeremiah 6:16, and I want to read that again. In fact, I would like you to read that with me. Let's read together. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Father, lead us this morning. I pray that you will change us. Change our hearts. Open our hearts, Lord. I pray that each one of us will give you permission to do the spiritual surgery inside our hearts that needs to be done. Lord, I believe in this crowd there are some that perhaps don't even know you as their Savior. They haven't even taken that path. They haven't started the journey. Maybe they're examining things, and that's okay. Maybe they're checking things out, seeing what God is all about, what Jesus is about. But I pray that today they would have a burning passion and a burning desire, Lord, to take the first step of faith with you and receive you today. I pray for those of us who have families, and we're in a world that tears us in a different direction. And that direction often seems so more appealing, so more simpler, so more easier at times. And I pray that you'll strengthen us, strengthen our resolve to no matter what, we're going to follow you. No matter what comes. And Father, this morning, as we take a look at this roadblock of a fear of risk, Lord, don't let this be an excuse from this day on in following you with everything we have. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in your life that there are some big, huge, God-sized opportunities that are going to come your way. Are you going to take it? I don't think God shoves you down the road and says, "Here, I got a plan for you. Go for it." He says, "Here's the road. Here's the road. I want you to walk in this." Will you take those opportunities that come your way? Will you jump and say, "Yes, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what"? These are God-sized opportunities, but right then and there is when you often hit a roadblock. And roadblocks detour us out of God's way and into the world's way. Everybody can identify with fears. All of us have some fears. Some fears are just natural. Some of us have a fear of the dark. Some of us have a fear of flying. Some have a fear of sharks. Some of us have all fears of flying in the dark with sharks. Maybe not. I really want you to get this as we finish up this short series. There are things that keep us from the opportunities that God sends our way. God lays out opportunities before us. He says, "I want to use you. And when I use you, I want to work in you. And I want to work through you." And these opportunities are there before us. But many times we don't seize them. We don't take a hold of them because we're afraid. We're afraid of a risk. We're afraid of taking the risk. Let me tell you a couple of things I fear. One of the things I have always feared is the fear, and by the way, this is just a physical fear, okay? I'm not talking about the risks that I'm going to take for God. This is a physical fear. I hate heights. Anyone else hate heights? I didn't really realize how much I hated heights until when I was in school, in Bible school in the States. I had this job working construction, and I was working on apartment buildings, and they were only 3 or 4 stories high, and I was supposed to be up at the top, strapped on a brace, on a support, and sandblasting a bunch of metalwork. And I could barely move when I'm up at the top, and I'm not hardly getting my job done, and I'm going far too slow, and And my supervisor saying, "What's going on, Ken? Can't you get the work done? We got to get this going." And I'm like, "I'm going as fast as I can." And I realized very quickly, I could barely breathe. I could barely move. I hate this. I'm too tense. And so they got me on the ground doing some ground work instead. And I was so much happier, so much better. I remember a few years ago, Jennifer and I were at the Gold Coast, and beautiful place. But we were up on this motel, and I think it was, if I remember right, 32 floors up. 32 floors. And they had a balcony. And I walk out onto this balcony, 32 floors. And for some reason, if you have this fear of heights, you feel this magnetic pull pulling you over the side of a balcony. And so I wanted to see over the side, and I'm reaching forward, and I just feel this pull. I'm fighting it, you know. And you take a look over, and you can kind of imagine. And then I start thinking stupid thoughts. I see the swimming pool down there at a distance. And I start thinking, man, I wonder if I could jump in there from here, you know. And you start thinking crazy things. And it's that fear of heights that almost is paralyzing. I couldn't imagine sitting out on the balcony enjoying a cup of coffee out there. I'm just crazy. I had a fear when I was younger of speaking in front of a lot of people. Does anyone else share that fear? Speaking in front, you get up in front of people and you just get paralyzed and you get nervous. You have that fear? Some of you do. Some don't. Some of you are natural. You get up in front of people and you just like to be a goofball and clown around and have people watch you. Other people freeze up. I had that fear, and I had to deal with that a long time ago. I'm not saying that I am never nervous when I get up in front of people, but I had to deal with this fear. Now let me turn the mirror on you a little bit. Let's talk about your fears. I want to list some common fears. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking of common fears that I think people have within our church that perhaps may be keeping you from choosing that road, from this God-sized opportunities that God wants to do in your life. And there's these fears in your life that keep you away from it. And I want to list a few of these. And as I do, make a mental note or a written note. And if one of them clicks with you, just make a note of that. Maybe you're here and you're afraid to join a small group. Maybe there's this fear. I've talked to many of you about our life groups, our small groups, and the need of them, the importance of them. But maybe there's a fear working inside of you and you're afraid that people might get to know you too closely. People might get to know you too well. And maybe not like you once they get to know you a little bit. I don't know. Maybe this is a fear though, a stumbling block, a roadblock keeping you from following God. Another fear is maybe you're afraid to work with people here at the church, to get involved in ministry. You're afraid to work with people here, and you're kind of into doing your faith by yourself. Yes, I love God. I love to worship Him. I love to hear and I pray and I want to get close to God, but I don't want to do it with anybody else. I want to do it alone. It's private. And there's this fear that's a block, a roadblock. This might be a real fear for some of you. Maybe you have a fear of being baptized. I've met people with this unreasonable fear of being baptized. Maybe it's they don't want to get their hair wet and be embarrassed in front of everybody. And I'm sorry, but we are International Baptist Church, okay? So that means that we dunk people. We have a big dunking machine up here. I've often wanted to get one of those platforms and just have people sit on it. And you throw the ball and they dunk them underwater. But we don't do that. But we do dunk people. We don't sprinkle people. And so, maybe there's this fear, and it's keeping you from taking a step with God, that allowing God total freedom and an opportunity in your life. Maybe. Why is that? What about this? Please, please turn off cell phones at this time. This is our time. We're focusing on God, on listening to God. What about this? You're afraid to go on a missions trip. Maybe you've seen too many movies and you don't want to go any place where there's spears, where there's gorillas, and you just, you know, you're happy here. But this fear might be keeping you from a God-sized opportunity. God's been speaking to you inside. He's been leading you to do something, but this fear has been a roadblock for you. Maybe, here's another fear. Getting just pushed out of your comfort zone. I think we get comfortable at church. It's too easy to get comfortable at church. How many of you sit in your same seats week after week? Are you comfortable? Are you really comfortable? Okay, tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to make some of you very unhappy. I'm going to take about 1 minute, and I want you to grab, not the person in front of you, but grab your bag, grab your Bible, stand up, and I'm going to ask you to go and meet and shake at least 3 people's hands that you have never met before, and then sit down somewhere that you have never sat before. Okay? Are you ready? Grab your stuff and let's stand together. And meet a few people. Noisy, man. All right, 3 people. Get out of here. Get out of here. All right. Take a seat. Wow. This looks like a new church. This is really neat. This is a different church than what I'm used to seeing. And I'm sorry. Doesn't it feel good, by the way? Doesn't it feel good? You're somewhere different now. But if you're a visitor with us, I apologize. You can sit anywhere you want to sit, and it'll be a new place. So, sorry to disturb your comfort. Sometimes, guys, we get too comfortable and it's time to change. It's time to change something. We got to be careful of not getting too comfortable with things in the status quo. We got to be willing to make changes. How about a fear of letting someone know that you're not a Christian? The fear of letting someone know you're not a Christian. What I mean is this. Maybe you've been going to church for a number of years. And you believe God is telling you that you've never been saved. You've never trusted Him. You've never received His forgiveness for your sin. But you've been going to church so long now that you feel too embarrassed, too afraid to come clean and say, you know what? I'm not a real Christian. It's not genuine in my life. And I know it. I've been going to church and everything, but I've never been saved. And maybe this fear is a roadblock keeping you, a massive block keeping you from a God-sized opportunity. Maybe you have that fear. Maybe you're afraid, another fear. By the way, keep these mental. What are you afraid of? What's a fear that's a roadblock in your life? Maybe you're afraid to really be real and ask for help. There are some issues going on. There's some difficulties in your life. I don't know what it may be. It doesn't matter. But maybe there's some struggles going inside and you're too afraid to ask for help, to seek counsel, to seek the kind of help that you may need to help get through something very difficult. Maybe it's a marriage difficulty. Maybe it's something personal. But this fear is keeping you from a God-sized opportunity. Or another, you're afraid to talk to a family member, a neighbor, a co-worker about your life with God. You're afraid to share what God has done in your life with somebody else. You're afraid to share your testimony, why you're a Christian, because of who knows exactly what fears, that they don't care to listen, they don't want to hear, that they're not interested in what you have to say. As I come to this one, I was reminded of a conversation I had recently with a new member of the church, and I called him up on the phone. I said, you know what you were talking to me about? I want you to talk to the church about it as well, because I think that they need to hear it. And that I think that it would be a massive blessing to them, because I'm sure there are plenty who share that roadblock in this group this morning. So I'm asking Mark McAllister, would you come up to the front? Let's give him a hand. Eh? Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. Appreciate the honor and service to be able to come and do this and take time to be able to do this. So I thank you for that. I also thank you for the church. Thank you for the love that you've shown us and the family. We've been here about a month now. Can you hear me? All right, good news. And so we've experienced the love that you have for both for God and for us inside the church wall. So we thank you for that. We came here, my wife and I, along with our kids, about 2 months ago as full-time missionaries to reach out to the Chinese, to pass Bibles and gospel tracts to the Chinese church that come here. And so that was a big step for us. However, there's little steps along the way that we've learned about. And by the way, I have my notes here because Pastor Ken said you have about a few minutes. Helen will testify that I can talk for hours, so I'm going to try and keep me within a few minutes here. I gave my life over to Christ on October 26, 1995, at a men's conference. About a year later, I went to the same men's conference with my brother-in-law and his friends. Now, after the conference, we stopped by the store, and one of the friends said, I'm going to go talk to that guy over there. He looked like a rock star. He had a rock shirt on and some jeans, etc. And I sat back in the car and I thought, I could never do that. So I was astonished. So I came back, or he came back, sat in the car, and I was amazed at his testimony. And he said that this guy, he approached him, he talked to him, and this guy really opened up. And he talked to him about that he was lonely and he needed somebody to talk to, and he it was great for him, and so they invited him to church. I thought, again, crazy. No way could I ever do that. Well, what I realized when I gave my life over to Christ was that Christ died so that I can be close to God and have eternal salvation. And it struck me as I continued my walk that I needed to tell others about that great news. But I was afraid. And so many times in Jesus' ministry, he said, do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. John 14:1, 14:27, other places. But yet I was fearful and I was afraid to do that. I was afraid to take the little steps. And there's various relationships, categories of relationship in my life where I didn't do that. Whether it be somebody who was very close to me, whether it be a colleague, a worker, somebody pretty surface type, but a little bit deeper, or somebody who I've never met before. I was always fearful to take those steps. Well, I decided, but just because I wanted to serve God, and out of all humility and love for others, that they might hear this good news, I was going to try that. So I took little steps. I would take that step to tell them a little bit about Christ, a little bit about my life, whether it be an atheist friend or a colleague. When I was in the workforce, there's this row of people that I knew pretty well, and made it my mission to go talk to each one of them about God and about Christ. And what I've learned in taking those steps is this: people want to share their lives with you. There's no reason to be afraid. And so as I take the steps and I'd reach out to them and I ask them just about their church life, their history, their family, whatever it is, and ultimately get to that point of, gosh, did you know about this great news? It became easier and easier and easier and easier. And so whether I was talking to a dear friend, a colleague at work, or somebody on the street who was looking for just any kind of need or help, or a really good one that I found and that I really enjoy, is in a plane setting. On a plane, you have somebody's attention, captured attention, for quite a while. And so my wife would like to sleep, and I take those opportunities to tell her, you know, talk and meet people and learn about their backgrounds. And again, there's always that fear of, how will I do that? What will I do? But if you take that step and just open up, and there's a great example that's in the Bible that tells you how to do this. In 2 Timothy 2:24, it says, be kind. Tell others out of love and out of service, not out of righteousness, but out of love. If you love them, you want to tell them about God. So we praised about it and we worshiped in service this morning. Thank God for the peace that we have here on earth. Thank God for the salvation that we have, the eternal salvation that we have. Isn't it great to be able to share that? It is for me, with others. So in closing, by illustration, I'll give you a few examples. One example, my wife and I went to this gathering with our friends, and the father of this friend was ill, and he was in bed. And I thought to myself, I should really go talk to him, see how he is, maybe pray with him, see where he is with the Lord. I learned a couple days later that he passed away. Another opportunity that came my way, right before we left here to New Zealand, a man who was fixing our air conditioner came over. Okay, I'm going to talk to him a little bit about what his passing experience is. Short story of it is, the second time he came over, we prayed in my driveway, and he gave his life over to Christ. Now, in both those scenarios, there's all sorts of history and traditions and things that person has gone to. So in no way am I grabbing onto those opportunities as I was the only path, the only part of this person's salvation. But I do know this. In one instance, the opportunity that Pastor Kim was talking about, I lost it. Another opportunity, I saved it, and I took that opportunity. And that's what I encourage you to do. Love God, love others, do not be afraid, and do not let your hearts be troubled. Step away from the fear. Thank you.
Thank you. Acts 3.
It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Let me just stop right here just to say that this was a common scene. The beggars, people who were begging, would often go to the temple at certain times when people were going to be coming back and forth. There was a good chance of finding some help, somebody to give something at this time. So they knew where to go. This guy is outside the temple. In verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. But," can you imagine what might be going through the guy's mind right now? "I don't have any money, but what? But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. And I get to thinking, like I often like to do, and as you read the Word, as you read God's Word, I encourage you to do this. Put yourself in their situation. Imagine that you were them at this time. How would you feel? What would you be thinking about? These are real people, not just stories in the Bible. These are real people with real feelings and emotions. And so when Peter says, "I don't have any money for you, but," and this guy has probably heard this many times, "but," a million times. Maybe he was expecting, "but I'll get back to you later. I don't have any money, but maybe tomorrow. I don't have any money, but when my buddies come, they'll have some money. You can hit them up. I don't have any money, but I would like to, but I lost all my money at the chariot races or something." But this "but" was a different one. This "but" was different. This was one that was going to change this lame man's life. But the point that I want you to see was that in this setting, Peter had a God-sized opportunity and he was willing to take a risk. He could have passed by this opportunity very easily, but he took a risk. He could have walked right by him, fearful for the risk, and let the lame guy still sit there. But he saw an opportunity. Somebody's life was changed. Not only was his life changed, but here's what the Bible says happened. After this happened, the people saw the lame man, and they saw him walking and dancing and running into the temple, and all of a sudden, there was this crowd that gathered. A crowd that gathered. Everybody's wondering what on earth happened, what is going on. Everybody wanted to know. That's what happens when a life gets transformed. A life gets transformed. We here at IBC are about transforming lives. And I want you to know when a life is genuinely transformed, and you cannot fake a genuine transformation, you cannot fake it. When a life is genuinely transformed, it begins to draw people. And out of curiosity, they want to say, "What's going on? What's happened to our Uncle Bob? He used to be so different. He used to be a rat bag. He used to do a lot of things that we weren't very proud of. But something's gone on. Something's changed in him. There's a joy with him. There's a peace with him. There's life inside. He gets excited now about things like helping people. What is going on with this person?" A genuinely transformed life will affect lives. What's your story? Do you have a life transformation story? How that God has changed your life, changed your passions, changed your desires. There's a crowd outside of the temple, and I want you to see what happened in verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" I want you to see here that here's another opportunity. When Peter saw this opportunity, He took advantage of it. He saw there's a group of people here. He was just talking to one man. And that one man's life was transformed. It was changed. And all of a sudden now there's a crowd wondering what's going on. So here's another opportunity. And Peter could have said, oh great, this is getting too big for me. But he took advantage. He saw an opportunity here. He seized it. He could have done a lot of things at this time. He could have done a lot of things. He could have said, hey, you want to see another miracle? And let me show you something else really cool. And he could have gone, have you seen America's Got Talent? Anybody? Okay, a lot of funny, weird stuff going on America's Got Talent. Some of it's pretty cool, some of it's pretty lame. But Peter could have said, you know, let me show you another cool trick. But he didn't. He took advantage of an opportunity to share Christ with a group. He says, it's not about me. It's not about how fantastic I am or how wonderful I can do things. I need to tell you about Christ. I need to show you somebody else. Acts 4, verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Now I would like to tell you that when you are willing to take a risk and you remove this fear of risk in your life, that from then on everything would go just fantastic. Okay? But we have to be real. And we see here that Peter and John, they took opportunities, they were willing to take risks, lives were changed and transformed, but not everything still seemed to go the way that they would have liked it to have gone. And when you take a risk in life to do something for God, to do something for Him, it's not always going to pan out just the way you had imagined. What do you do? The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And they weren't coming saying, man, we want to hear about this too. They were angry. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Oftentimes, with the risk, there is a risk of a great cost. It's not a risk unless you actually risk something. And this fear of risk that keeps you from following God there is a possibility. There's always a possibility that things won't go the way that you imagined it would go. And any time you hear somebody say, if you just follow Christ, He'll lead you and there will never be problems in your life, they're lying to you. They're not telling you the truth. That's not what the apostles found. That's not what Jesus Himself found. But the irony here is, because they were willing to take this risk, there is now a lame man that is walking and is healthy, and the healthy man is sitting in jail. Because they took a risk. Here's Peter saying, I'm willing to pay the price. The next morning, Peter's pulled out in front of the government leaders, and he's kind of standing trial before them. This is the question they ask him in verse 7. By what power or what name did you do this? This is their question they ask. Now let me ask you, do you think this was another opportunity for Peter? He has a captive audience there. Well, he's the captive, but they're watching him. And they says, now tell us, by what power are you doing these things that you're doing? There's a crossroads here. There's a God-sized opportunity that's opened up. What do you think he's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? I want to encourage you to read Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4 when you get home. But I want you to see five words here in verse 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. I want you to notice the first five words. Well, five words. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes on and he teaches them a message about God and a message about salvation. And if you're a Christian, if you're Christ's follower, I want you to know that you have God's Spirit dwelling in you as well. Amen? If you're a believer, the Bible says anyone who does not have the Spirit is none of His. If you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have His presence, His power. And it's always there. It's always there to lead us, to guide us. And by the way, while we're on the subject of the Spirit, I just want to take the quick opportunity to remind us of what the fruit of the Spirit is. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is not, you know, people going bananas and out of control in certain settings. Okay, people do that at AC/DC concerts, and that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible explains to us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. We have the Spirit of God living within us. These things are to become more and more evident all the time. The fruit of the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God living within you. So we're looking at Peter. What do we see? We see a guy who saw opportunities. A guy who took risks. He paid the price. And God used him to change lives. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was totally controlled and consumed by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to go to you. How do I do this? How do I get over my fear of risk? And so, in closing this morning, just simple, three simple things. First of all, I need to identify my personal fear. What is my fear? What is your fear? If you name it, and can confess it, that fear begins to shrink. It begins to shrink. It becomes manageable. It becomes something that God can take care of in your life. What is your fear? Is your fear of following God in something that He's leading you into? Is your fear a fear of giving your life to Him? Surrendering yourself to Him? What is your fear? Second, once you identify it, the second thing is, I'd encourage you to confess your fear to someone. Confess your fear to someone. Somebody in a small group, a best friend, but be very honest. It's difficult to do at times, but the Bible tells us in James, confess your faults one to another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we're told, we're encouraged, confess to another. Let it be known. Let them share the burden with you and pray with you about this. And then third, I would encourage you to take one risk. Take just one risk and pray and ask God, God, what is the one risk? Don't say, I'm going to take all the risk all right now. But God, I want to take the first risk. There's something that You're leading me to do, and I want You to challenge your fear, and whatever that fear may be, in following God, do it. Take one. Maybe it's a conversation with a stranger that God seems to bring your way. That rock star stranger that Mark spoke of, that God brings your way and He prompts you. Just say a word to Him. Say something to Him. Maybe it's going to Class 101 membership. Maybe it's serving in some way. Maybe, like Jennifer said, you know, God is leading someone into a ministry like the Spring Festival that needs a director. And maybe you say, that's something I can do. I'm fearful of it. But you can step out and do it. Maybe it's getting into a small group. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's reading your Bible. Maybe reading your Bible at work. Maybe, you know, letting people at work know who you are, that you're a Christian. But make one risk. Take one risk. And I ask you now to stand with me. As we do here, we're going to offer an invitation. And the invitation is for you to take care of some business with God. And maybe you're here right now and you know there's something inside that's been a roadblock in your life. A fear of a risk. What is it? You know it. God knows it. And I encourage you to bring it this morning before God. Confess it. Name it. And say, God, I want to follow you in one risk. And I want to follow you in a risk this week. Will you do that this morning? Will that be your prayer? I want to remind you, as I'm speaking about Peter, I mean, I make Peter sound like a real superstar. And he was great and God used him. But remember, he was also a real person. Remember the story of Jesus walking out on the water to Peter and called him, and Peter got out of the boat and went walking across the water. And the storm got a little bit big, a little bit scary. Peter lost his focus. He lost sight of God. He stopped looking at Jesus and he started looking at what's around him, and the fears overtook him and he began to sink. Remember that? And Jesus held out his hand, lifted him back up. He said, oh, you have little faith. But I always think about, man, what about the other guys in the boat? Amen? What about the other guys? He was the only one with the courage to step out to begin with. He was the only one that called out and said, God, Lord, if that's you, call me to come out to you. I want to walk on the water with you. I want to be that kind of a guy. Do you want to be that kind of a person? I encourage you today to take these steps. Take these steps. And if you need to respond this morning, spend some time with the Lord. Maybe you want to begin these steps right now. Name it. Confess it. Maybe you can take someone who's next to you and say, hey, I want to confess something with you in front of you right now. This is a fear of mine. Will you pray with me? And it's okay to come and pray together. You don't have to be alone. That's okay. Father in heaven, help us now as we take the truths that we've been learning. Take your word and begin to now apply it to ourselves. And in faith, Father, make some decisions. Make some commitments. And yes, God, my prayer is also for anyone who hasn't, for some fears, received you as their Savior, that they also would address that fear this morning. Lord, if there's anyone in this room for one reason or another has never trusted you as their Savior, that today, Lord, they would come, they would confess that they would pray with someone, that they would get that settled in their life. Take away any fear of risk for them right now. And the rest of us, Father, lead us. In Jesus' name.